Claude code pushed a change that's easy to miss in a changelog, but carries real weight as a signal. Auto mode is now the default. Previously, users had to explicitly choose between different operating modes. The model would present options and wait for direction. Now it decides autonomously how to approach a task unless you intervene. That post generated 230 points and 232 comments on HN, which is a lot of engagement for what looks like a UI default change.
The reason it generated that much discussion is that defaulting to autonomy is a statement about the intended user relationship. When you ship a tool that defaults to asking for guidance, you're implicitly saying the user is in charge and the tool assists. When you default to autonomous action, you're saying trust the tool's judgment until you have a reason not to. That's a meaningful shift in the human-computer dynamic, and the HN community noticed.
Several comments pointed out the liability implications. If a user triggers an automated workflow that causes data loss or commits bad code to a production branch, and the tool was operating in default autonomous mode, the question of who made that decision becomes genuinely murky. The counterargument is that the quality threshold for autonomous mode is high enough that it's net safer than users making the same decisions more slowly and with less context.
There's also something here about how AI coding assistants are competing for developer loyalty. When Claude Code defaults to auto mode, it's implicitly arguing that its judgment is reliable enough to be trusted as a default. That's a differentiation claim against tools that are more conservative in their default behavior. Whether developers find that reassuring or alarming probably depends a lot on their personal tolerance for AI autonomy in their workflow.
The HackerOne story is a very different kind of development community story, and it carries a more somber tone. The post, 260 points, 127 comments, is an analysis of what happened to HackerOne, the platform that was supposed to be the gold standard for connecting security researchers with organizations that needed vulnerability reports handled responsibly.
For context, HackerOne launched in 2012 and became synonymous with the concept of bug bounty programs done right. The idea was elegant. Give researchers a legal, structured way to report vulnerabilities, give organizations a trusted intermediary, and create financial incentives that made security research a viable career. For a few years, it largely worked. The platform mediated some genuinely significant disclosures.
The critique in the piece, and the community discussion validates a lot of it, is that the business model pressures eventually pulled HackerOne away from its original mission. Platforms like this face a structural tension. They need organizational clients to generate revenue, which means they need to keep those clients happy, which creates incentives to favor the organization over the researcher when disputes arise. Over time, the community perception shifted from HackerOne advocates for researchers to HackerOne is a vendor relationship manager for enterprise clients.
The comment thread had a lot of researchers sharing specific experiences, being pressured to accept lower payouts, disputes being resolved in the organization's favor, reports being marked as out of scope on what felt like pretextual grounds. The aggregate picture is of a platform that drifted from its founding ethos as it scaled. Whether that was inevitable, given the business model, or a failure of specific decisions, is something the community was debating pretty vigorously.
And then there's the piece that's technically from 1998, but hit 247 points and 61 comments today. Tim Berners-Lee's Cool URIs Don't Change. The fact that a 28-year-old web standards essay is getting this kind of engagement in 2026 is itself a data point worth noting.
The piece is exactly what it sounds like. Berners-Lee arguing that good web infrastructure means URLs should be permanent, and that if a URL breaks, it's the server owner's failure of responsibility. The frustrating thing is that the underlying problem has gotten worse, not better, in the 28 years since he wrote it. Link rot is now a documented crisis for scientific publishing, journalism, and legal records. Studies have found that a substantial fraction of URLs cited in academic papers are dead within a decade.
The HN community was partly there to appreciate the classic, but partly there because the frustration with link rot is just as raw as it was when the web was young. Every developer who's tried to reconstruct a technical discussion from 2019 only to find half the links dead understands exactly why this piece still lands.